Dr. David Gibbs said several years ago, we was in a meeting together, and he said we ought to pull up to God's drive-through and biggie-size it. You remember that, Brother Fred? We ought to pull up to God's drive-through and biggie-size it. He said people are afraid to ask God for big things. Elijah's about to go off the scene, and the mantle is about to fall on Elisha. And Elijah said, Elisha, ask me anything you will. And Elisha said, I want a double portion of your spirit. And Elijah said, whoo, that ain't in the Bible, but I can picture that. He said, wow, man, you ask a big thing. But nevertheless, amen. We sometimes think that the things we are asking for are so petty, and they probably are. Did you know nothing you ask God is a challenge to Him? Think about it. Lord, I'd like to see our church get $1 million and get out of debt. You know what $1 million is to God? It ain't even that change offering we took up tonight. Hallelujah. You can't ask too much of my God. He used to make me nervous pray about big things. It don't bother me a bit now because I done realized He can. And not only is it that He can, He will. He has and He does. I've seen God do some mighty big things. Amen. Take your Bible and go to 2 Samuel chapter 13. I don't even have an outline tonight. I'm exhausted and wore out. But brother, I'm telling you, I'm so glad to be in church. Amen. Look, here's my outline. I got three verses of scripture wrote down on this scrap piece of paper in my pocket. I'm just going to share a thought with you. This morning was friend day. And we invited friends and neighbors and co-workers to be in church with us. I want to tell you something tonight before we get to the scripture. Friendship is a responsibility. I often talk from the pulpit about how many friends I have. And I do. I have friends all over this country, and I have some very good friends. But it's one thing to have friends. The Bible said a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. I not only want to have good friends, I want to be a good friend. Have you ever felt like you failed someone as a friend? Amen, I have. I felt like I failed people at times as a friend. There are good friends and there are bad friends. You can influence in a positive way or you can influence in a negative way. And we're going to look at two friends in the Bible tonight. Amen. If somebody said, if that's what friends are, I don't need any more enemies. Yeah. Amen. I'm going to preach this message just for a few minutes tonight. Choose your friends wisely. Choose your friends wisely. You are influenced easier than you think. Amen. Normally we would preach this kind of message to young people, but pastoring this church for 20 years, I think old people need it worse than young people do. Amen. I've never seen anybody leave this church by themselves. Somebody gets mad, they got to have somebody mad with them. So they'll get mad and they'll take somebody who ain't mad and take them to dinner and make them mad. Am I right about it? Somebody ought to help me tonight. Do y'all know how much out of hell that is? If we're going to have an influence on somebody, it ought to be a positive influence. You are either influencing your friends toward God or you're influencing them away from God. And your friends are either influencing you to God or they're influencing you away from God. Couple of statements tonight. Write this down somewhere. I've said it for years. You are now or will become who your friends are. Amen. You are now or will become who your friends are. Amen. When I first got saved, I thought, well, I don't have to give up my old buddies. Wrong. It wasn't that I was better than them. It was that I was not better than them.
Yeah, right.
I got saved and the Lord changed my heart, but I still had this flesh. And I had the bright idea I could hang out with them and they could do the same old thing and I could be a child of God and not get into sin. I found out that wasn't true.
Yeah.
Somebody said you lay down with dogs, you'll get up with fleas.
Yeah.
Amen. You ride around with buddies you drank with for years, you're going to wind up doing it too.
Yes, sir.
At least I did. And I don't figure you much any better than me. Amen. Choose your friends wisely. You are now or will become who your friends are. Some of you are allowing too much worldly influence in your life.
Amen.
Amen. I've got a buddy of mine. I love him with all my heart, but I dodge him like the plague. If I see his truck at a place of business, I won't even go in. He'll stand flat-footed, no respect whatsoever. He'll take the Lord's name in vain. He talks as filthy as any man ever talked. I just got to where I don't want to hear it.
Amen.
I love him. If he needed me tomorrow, I'd be there. If I needed him, he'd be there. But I just don't want to hear it. I don't need that influence in my life.
Amen.
Amen. You don't either. Some of you kids are just starting school. Y'all look up here at me. Some of you kids are just starting school. Choose your friends wisely. Some of you have gotten right with God over the summer. You got on fire for God in the teen department. Man, you want to live for the Lord Jesus. Just as soon as you get to school, the devil will put a negative influence in your path and draw you away from God. Did I tell y'all to turn to 2 Samuel?
Yes, sir.
Look at chapter number 13 with me in verse number 1. The Bible said, and it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister. Y'all grasping that, right? Who was she? Come on. Who was she? His sister. Absalom had a fair sister. They may not have had the same mama, but they had the same dad. Absalom had a fair sister. That meant she looked good. Whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. Now, I love my sister. But there's a loving your sister, and then there's a loving your sister. Amnon had a thing for his sister. When you begin to have an attraction for somebody you shouldn't, stay away from them. Let me just say that again. Hey, we're human. When you get married, all those attractions don't go away. Mine did, honey. But all those attractions don't go away. Man, you'll meet up with somebody, maybe even in the church, and there'll be a chemistry. That's what they call it. You better run from chemistry. Ain't got nothing to do with sermon night. Let me say it again. You better run from chemistry. When you meet up, you got another couple and y'all go out to eat and you and that other man's wife just click real good, you better unclick.
Yes,
I'm telling you, that's dangerous ground.
Yes, sir.
He loved his sister. And Amnon was so vexed, verse 2, that he fell sick for his sister. You know what he's doing, don't you? He's lusting after her. Trying to be real careful. He's fantasizing about his sister. Is that okay? Everybody got that? He fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. Stay with me. Does Amnon know what's right?
Yes, sir.
The attraction may not have been a sin, but acting on the attraction.
Amen.
This guy had already purposed in his heart that that's his sister, and what he's thinking in his mind is not right, and I ain't going to do nothing to it.
Amen.
Let's look at it again. The dude's thinking right. He thought it hard for him to do anything to her.
Yes,
Look at verse number 3 and look at those first four words. But, uh-oh, we know what that is, don't we?
Amen.
That's a conjunction. It means what's just been said is figured to be opposite. In other words, we're changing direction. Absalom fell sick for his sister, and he thought it hard to do anything to her, so he's just going to deal with his lust and try his best to get over it. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab. If you know the story, and I'm not going to read the rest of it, Jonadab says, hey, man, I think it's cool. Go for it. Go for it. Get her to fix you something to eat and bring it to you in your bedroom. Amnon rapes his sister. You know what it said? It started this story, he loved her. This story ends, he hates her. The very sight of her reminds him of what he's done. And it all happened at the influence of a friend. There's things growing up, me and my friends did, we'd have never did had we not been together. I was over at Miss Bonnie's the other day, and Roger, my childhood friend, my cohort in crime, has moved back from Florida, and he said, me and you ought to go off one evening, just me and you. I said, I don't know if that'd be good, Roger. Hey, something, I mean, we bring out the worst in each other, always have. When we was little, Mom would say, why, it's that Roger Bush. His mom would say, it's that Eddie White. No, it was that Eddie White and Roger Bush together.
Yeah.
Amen. Some of you have some influence in your life that you need to get rid of. I'm not telling you to be a snob. I'm not telling you to be angry. I'm not telling you to be hateful. But you need to cut some of that Facebook out.
Amen. Amen.
Whether you realize it or not, what you see and what you hear affects your spirit.
Amen.
Well, I can read that stuff on Facebook. No, you cannot. If you get entertainment out of reading people attacking your church and attacking your pastor, and that's what you do in your spare time, you have a problem.
Amen.
Are we all right?
Amen.
Cut it out. Cut it out. Why do you need it in the first place? Am I in here by myself?
Well, I gotta keep up.
Yeah, I know. You want to know what's wrong in everybody's life. If you're keeping up with grandbabies or nieces and nephews in another state, that's one thing.
Amen.
Amen. You know what I had a fella tell me the other day? He tweets, tweet. That don't even sound cool. Levi tweets. Preacher asked me, do you tweet? And I said, you know I don't tweet, and you better not be tweeting on me. Amen. Man, I'll tweet you. No, don't, my wife tweets me. You don't tweet me. Y'all all right? Here's what the preacher said, and I admired him for it. He said, if I read one negative thing about another preacher on a Twitter, he said, I cut them off. Why? I don't need that influence.
That's right.
I have to watch myself as a pastor traveling this country. I'm with a lot of other preachers. And by the way, I have the privilege to be with some of the greatest preachers in this country. I do. But boy, they some of them. I sit at the under end of the table when we're eating together. Because their mouth is a sewer. I don't mean they talk vulgar. They talk about other people. Did you hear? Did you hear? Did you hear? I need to guard myself against that.
Amen.
I need to guard myself against that. There's certain preachers that I like. I mean, I really do. But I have to guard myself. If I'm not careful, if I listen to too much of their preaching, they influence me and cause me to hurt my people. There's one I used to love to listen to, and I found out today he's doing stand-up comedy. One of the meanest preachers ever preached in this country. Some of y'all are thinking, no, you know who I'm talking about, don't you? Sucker does everything but cuss from the pulpit, and he does that occasionally. Stand-up comedy. Anyway, I have to guard myself. And we ought to guard our spirit, whether you realize it or not. The people on your job are influencing you. The people on that Twitter account are influencing you. The people on your Facebook are influencing you. Hey, Absalom did not understand it. Absalom did not comprehend it. But Jonadab was influencing him. Amen. Y'all all right? I've had stinking parents go home and be a bad influence on their children. Yeah, but Mama, Brother Eddie said, oh, don't pay no attention to what Brother Eddie said. Why are you even here, Jack?
Amen.
If you don't care what Brother Eddie said, you don't care what's preached from the Word of God to your children, you're going to go home and tell your children, don't pay any attention. You know why you're telling them that? Because you pay no attention.
Amen.
You sit there and nod your head, amen, amen, amen. That you live as contrary to it as night is today.
You're right. Amen.
Amen. You know what it is? It's that influence you're allowing in your life.
Yeah.
Amen. I want to be a good influence to my friends.
Yeah.
Amen. I was with a preacher, and if I said his name, everybody in this room, he's known all over this country. I had heard through the grapevine that he was having a hard time, not out into sin, just battles and struggles and really going through it. He, Brother Tony Shirley, and I were to preach together in a meeting. Brother Tony and I was in the motel, was sitting in the lobby before the meeting. We still haven't seen this other preacher. And I said, you know what me and you need to do? I said, we need to be a help to this man while he's here. I said, I have it on good authority that he's hurting, he's struggling, and we need to reach out to him and love on him. I said, we don't need to ask him about finances. We don't need to ask him about church trouble. We just need to be a good friend to this man while he's here. And we did our best to do that. The next week, we both got texts from the preacher telling us how much a difference it made, how he was ready to throw in the towel and just about quit, and what a breath of fresh air. Hey, that's what I want to be. I want you to feel better for having been with me than to feel worse. You got those people you dodge. And please don't think you're one of them, but these folks I run into at Walmart, I see them, you know, I'm pushing my buggy. Ooh. I dive in a clothes rack somewhere and pray, oh God, don't let them see me. I literally don't want to hear what's fitting to come out their mouth. We need to guard ourselves. Choose your friends wisely. I'm just giving some advice tonight. Some of you ladies, you better watch out about running around with single women. I'm talking about you married women. You single married women, or get some single married women. I didn't know we had any of them. You single ladies, or to get you some single friends. Amen. And there's a balance there. Some of you have been married and divorced, and some of our married ladies can be an encouragement and a blessing to you. You all right? Be careful. Be careful who your friends are. Jonadab was a bad friend. Remember what I said? They're pushing us to God or they're pulling us away from God. I love to get around preachers who make me want to do better. Let me say it again. I love to get around preachers who make me want to do better. I was with Brother Roger Henson this weekend. I got to hear him preach twice. And oh man, I love Brother Roger. I love his authority. I love his character. I just love being around that old man of God. I love old men of God. But it done me good to be around him. Amen. There's some preachers I get around, I feel more carnal after leaving them than I did before I got there. Y'all all right? Hey, I got a good idea. My friends ain't no different than yours.
You're right. Amen.
Amen. How often does your friends like to talk about the Lord? I wonder how many of your Christian friends on Facebook will be bragging in the morning how good God was in church yesterday. I'll be honest with you. This is my prayer. God, blow up Facebook.
Amen.
Send one of them Islamic maniac Muslims over there and blow. I don't know where Facebook lives, but boy, I'd like to find out. I'd light me a dynamite up under that thing of kapooey. Oh, my Facebook is down. That would ruin some of your lives. I got a news flash for you. You need a life. If Facebook crashing would hinder your life, you need a life. Amen. Listen to me, ladies. I'd rather you watch as the stomach turns. Then read garbage about one another.
Yeah.
I don't care if you hate Dr. So-and-so, who's a fictional character anyway, but it bothers me when you start having ill feelings toward one another over something you read that's probably a lie anyway.
Amen.
Listen, chances are, and I'm just on the soapbox now, this is what happens when I ain't got any outline, amen? And maybe I need to do without an outline more often. Hey, but chances are, if they ain't got the guts to say it out loud and to your face, it ain't true anyway.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Choose your friends wisely. Well, I'm glad I got some good friends. And I hope somebody looks at me and says, I'm glad I got a good friend. Back up just a little bit to 1 Samuel. Chapter number 18. 1 Samuel chapter number 18. Y'all okay tonight?
Yes, sir.
A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. For years I've had people around here. They'll come to the church and stay for a little while and they'll leave and say, Brother Eddie, I just can't make any friends. I just can't make nobody likes me. And I'm like, you're right. I've actually thought that a time or two. No, you're right. No. Don't nobody like you at all. Because you're about the crabbiest one individual I ever met in my life. You don't speak to nobody. You hide in the corner. Hey, this one man visited. I should have shut my mouth. Hey, this man visited our church recently. Brother William. Where's he at? Oh, he's preaching at the jail. Brother William shook his hand and said, it's good to have you. He said, how do you know? That's what he said. I've never been here before. How do you know it's good to have me? I'm like, I hope you don't come back. Shook his hand as he left, said, boy, it's good to have you, but don't come back anytime soon. Amen. That's what the man said. Am I right, Jennifer? That's what he said. I shook his hand. He was sitting right there where Brother Freddy's at. He had been here two or three times. He was mad because he hadn't met the pastor. I shook his hand. I said, hey, I'm Brother Eddie White. He said, really? Yep, that's me. Last I checked, I'm telling you, might be the finest Christian that ever lived. But you ain't gonna make no friends like that. Amen. Man that hath friends must show himself. I made a mess. Must show himself friendly. Hey man, some of y'all, anybody can smile. That thing changed totally, didn't it?
Sounds like I'm talking from heaven. This is God.
I don't know what happened, guys. I just... We changed frequencies. How's that? Is that back to normal? No? Turn it up, man. I died there. I'm so sick of this stuff. Did I tell you to go to 1 Samuel chapter number 18? This is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. 1 Samuel chapter number 18, verse number 1. The Bible said, it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Boy, there's the kind of friendship I want. There's the kind of friendship I want. A friend cares more about the other than he does himself. Jonathan is the son of Saul. I guess you could say maybe heir to the throne, if you will. And here God has anointed David to be king over Israel. And Saul is negative against David. Hey, listen, a lot of people are friends until it counts. And Jonathan proved himself. In chapter number 23 and verse number 16, David is on the run. Who's after him? Jonathan's daddy. And we find Jonathan coming to David and strengthening it. Turn over there. Strengthening his hand in the Lord. 1 Samuel 23. I ain't going to preach much longer. 1 Samuel 23. I want you to look at verse number 16. Y'all there? Say amen. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. Now watch what he said to him. Watch what he said to him. Fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel. Y'all hear what he's telling him? Watch this. And I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul my father knoweth. Wow. Wow. Here is a friendship that has to choose between right and wrong. Between family and right. Has your family ever forced you to make a choice? Have you ever had to look at a family member and say, if you're going to do that while my children are there, they can't come anymore? Come on. Well, I'm telling you, Jonathan made a choice. And he said, hey, David, don't worry, buddy. You're going to be the king. And I'm going to be next to you. I'll be with you. David, you're going to be king, and I'm going to be with you. This covenant right here, we all love the story of Mephibosheth. The story of Mephibosheth is in the Bible because of this covenant between Jonathan and David. Now, brother, there's friendship right there. Watch this. I got to be careful. Church trouble doesn't separate friends. Let me say it again. Church trouble doesn't separate friends. If you can read something about me on Facebook and it affect our relationship, you weren't my friend to start. Are you okay? I'm telling you, it has slacked way off. People coming to me talking about other people in the church. I don't put up with it. I don't believe gossip. Well, you're just naive. Whatever. I choose what I listen to and what I don't. Y'all okay? You better choose your friends wisely. Because they're going to affect your walk with God, and they're going to affect your relationship with God. You watch that crowd that wants to take you out to eat. If there's another couple in the church and they invite you to eat, that's fine. If they're talking about the children and T-ball or whatever, but boy, they go running their mouth about the church, supper's over. Because you know what they're doing? They're trying to get you on their side. Let me tell you something, friend. There ain't but one side here. I'll say it again. There ain't but one side here. I am a pastor, not a referee. I don't wear a black and white striped shirt and blow a whistle. I am a man of God, and I have the book of God. And we're on the Lord's side. Joshua said, choose you this day whose side you're on. Whose side are you on? You on the Lord's side, or are you on that faction side? I've never seen but a couple of church splits that God was in. 99% of church splits God has nothing to do with. If you do not split over doctrinal issues, the inerrancy of God's word issues, Problems are supposed to be worked out. Church is split over money, that's straight out of hell.
Amen.
I've seen them split during building programs, straight out of hell. We're family, we're supposed to work that stuff out. But one starts influencing another one. Well, I don't know about you, but this is how I feel. That's how it starts. This is just the way I look at it, and this is the way I see it, and I don't think, hush. Hush! When it comes to the leadership of this church, you know where the cookie crumbles? Not at your house. You ain't going to answer for it. You lead this thing a while. Let's count your mistakes and name them one by one. There ain't nobody perfect. Your pastor ain't perfect. And by the way, this church ain't perfect. This idiotic church in town got that sign over the door that says the perfect church. There ain't nobody in there. If that sign's true, there ain't a living soul in there. And don't y'all go over there, you're going to mess up a good thing. We're not perfect. Amen. Buddy, I want to be a good friend. Brother Stacy and a few of us are going to the race next Saturday night, Lord willing. And you know, there's wicked stuff there if you choose to see it. Amen. There's sections you go to and sections you don't. And we're going to Atlanta and it ain't bad at all. Well, I'm sure it is if you're looking for it. But man, I was thinking today as I was reading these scriptures, I thought, boy, I don't get a lot of opportunity just to go hang out with some of these men. But boy, I sure hope I don't pull you away from God. I hope I can encourage you in the Lord. That's my heart's desire. I want you to spend some time with me and go, boy, that makes me want to go to church. That makes me want to serve God. Makes me want to live for God. Amen. There is a preacher that I used to listen to, and now I don't have CDs. All my messages are on cassettes, and I've never been a preacher worshiper ever. But I've had my favorites. There's a preacher. He's in heaven now. It's old Jack Hyles. That man make me want to jump off building and fly. Woo! And make you believe you could. That guy encouraged me. I mean, boy, he'd have me. I was pastoring 15, 20 people. And, brother, I'd listen to old Dr. Hiles. I'd come in here on Wednesday night, preach to them few people like they was 10,000. I'd say, hey, up there in the balcony, y'all hush. We didn't even have no balcony. Amen. I'm serious, man. Made me believe I could do something. That's the kind of people I want to be around that encourage me and will help me. I'll tell you what else. I'm done preaching. I like friends, and I have a couple. Now, I don't allow too many people in this close, but I have a couple of friends that I can say, hey, what do you think about such and such and this? And they'll go, you better not do that. You better think real hard before you make that decision. You better stay away from so-and-so. Amen. I had a friend call me a few weeks ago and say, hey, you might ought to pray about this relationship with this other preacher. I said, what are you talking about, man? Don't you go running him in the ground. He said, I'm not saying nothing. I'm just telling you, be careful. You know what that was, Brother Freddie? That was a friend.
Amen.
He didn't call me to gossip about the other preacher. He didn't say one thing negative, one thing bad. He just said, you be careful.
Right.
He said, I know you. He said, you don't look for the bad in nobody. He said, matter of fact, you'll look over it to see the good. He said, but I want you to be careful.
Amen.
You know what I thought when I hung up the phone? Ain't many people care enough about you to do that. No, I've got a lot of people now. If that other guy messes up, oh, my phone will ring off the hook. Did you hear? Did you hear? Did you hear? That ain't what this preacher called me for. He didn't call me to gossip. I knew it. He called me to be careful. That's a friend. You know what? A friend will get in your face every now and then. A friend will say, hey, you ain't doing right. And he don't mean it in a judgmental way, and you know it. He says it because he loves you. It's okay for friends to do that, is it not? Come on. Iron sharpeneth iron, so doth a man the countenance of his friend. It's okay.
Amen.
Stacy's been in church, what, 5 years? four. We grew up together. There's been a few things happen or little instances where I've went to him and said, you shouldn't have done that. He'd get mad at me on record. You know why I did it? I'm his friend. I want what God's best for him is. Amen. Be careful who your friends are. Not even any points tonight, just some advice. Choose your friends wisely. Are they somebody who will push you toward God or pull you away from God? That's the main thing. Are those friends on Facebook, are you better off spiritually for having them? It's a legitimate question, isn't it? How often do they share scripture verses with you? How often do they brag on the Lord? How often do they give a little testimony? Brother Danny Wynn, he's not here tonight, but Brother Danny Wynn comes in every week telling me about all these replies or whatever you call it, like or I don't know what you call it, but about his comments. He repreaches my sermon on there every week or something. Hey man, how often do you get that from your friends? If you start talking about the Lord on there, they'd unfriend you. Choose your friends wisely, even in the church. I tell you what, we're a pretty tight little old group around here. Even though there's 500 people around here this morning, we don't act like a church that size. And I don't ever want to. I don't care if we're 5,000. We ain't changing. We're going to stay just like we are. Amen. And we love each other. And we're so close, we know each other's faults. We know far too much about each other. Y'all understand that? We know far too much about each other. And if we're not careful, that could be a bad thing instead of a good thing. So let's be careful what kind of friend we are. You probably know something bad going on in somebody's life in this room right now. Don't repeat it. Please, be a good friend. Don't repeat it. Remember that old bluegrass song. When my faults and failures you see, don't go tell another, go tell Jesus on me. Amen. If you love one another, you'll pray for one another. Right. Amen. You won't spread the bad. Hey, I'm not telling you to go home and say, I can't be your friend no more. Don't be no old snotty cuss. But be careful. I told one of my buddies that I was talking about a while ago in my driveway one day. I said, I can't go. He said, oh, you think you're better than we are, don't you? I said, no, I don't. I just know I've decided I'm going to quit some things. If I go with you, I'm going to be knee-deep in it. And so that's all there is to it. Do you know it took several years, but I've won their respect and their friendship back. When they have trouble, they have problems, they find me and they call me. One of them cornered me up the store one day and he said, I need to confess some stuff to you. I said, I ain't wearing a backward shirt. He said, no, I'm telling you, I did something bad and I need to tell you about it. He said, I need to get right about it. And I said, well, yeah. He told me what he did and I said, yeah, you do. He said, would you do me a favor? Would you find him, the person I did wrong, and tell him I'm sorry? And we rode around the truck for a little bit. I said, sure I will. And I said, I promise you, I know him well enough, you don't even have to apologize. He's already forgiven you. And he did. He did him bad wrong, did him dirty, treated him bad. We rode around for a few minutes. He brought me back to my truck. Guess who was at the store? I said, ha-ha, looky here. You don't need me after all. There he is. And I watched that old friend of mine walk in there with tears rolling down his face and apologize sincerely. I was glad I was able to be a friend enough to encourage him to do the right thing. Amen. Amen. Let's choose our friends wisely. And let's make sure we're the kind of friend we ought to be. I'm telling you, friendship's a big responsibility, man. Everybody wants fair weather friends, but I want to be a friend who's a friend indeed. Amen. Not just a friend when you got a ticket to the race. But I want to be a friend when your daddy's hurting and you need prayer. I want to be a friend when you're hurting and you need prayer. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Friend Day. I'd like to know that through the years I've made enough impact. I may not see them every day. Hey, this little lady, I'm going to preach her funeral Tuesday, Miss Graves. She hadn't been in our church in probably 13, 14 years. Her granddaughter called me last week and she said, all Granny can talk about is fine Brother Eddie. I figured she'd forgot all about me. But evidently, maybe we made enough of impact. When she needed somebody, she remembered us. Thank you, baby. What about that? Ain't that pretty? Hallelujah. I love you guys. Lord, just get on this altar tonight and pray. God, help us. Help us to choose our friends wisely. You are now, or you will become who your friends are. Brother Todd, go ahead. If y'all want to sing something, it's up to you. Just whatever you want to do. But let's mind the Lord tonight.